This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Wayne Cabot. 1 week into their war, attacks between Israel and Iran are intensifying. Iran sent a missile into the main hospital in southern Israel, blowing out windows but not killing anyone. Other Iranian missiles fell near Tel Aviv and destroyed several apartment buildings. In response, Israel says it will amp up its attacks inside Iran.
On Capitol Hill, debate intensifying over possible U.S. involvement. Top Democrats saying President Trump must consult Congress and seek authorization if he's considering taking the country to war against Iran. While Republican Senator Lindsey Graham showing support for military action, saying Trump should finish the job.
ABC's Nicole D'Antonio. The National Hurricane Center says Eric is now an extremely dangerous Category 4 hurricane heading for Mexico's Pacific coast. You can't take Interstate 40 through the Great Smoky Mountains. Closed both ways because of mud and rock slides. More rain is in the forecast. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Sometimes superheroes need to be stuck up for when they are being bullied, at least when it comes to movies. The marvelous Miss Maisel, also known as Rachel Brosnahan, stuck up for superhero movies. She chatted with Amanda Seyfried for an article in Interview Magazine. Both actors agreed, if an actor is going to do a superhero role, they need to own it. As opposed to what Dakota Johnson said after starring in Madam Web and basically trashing the film after it flopped at the box office. Brosnahan is set to play Lois Lane in the upcoming Superman film. As usual, there will be a battle for the top spot at the box office this coming weekend. Distribution prognosticators are predicting How to Train Your Dragon will keep the top spot after a monster opening weekend. Duking it out for the number two spot at the box office, according to Variety, will be 28 Years Later, the third installment of the 28 Days franchise, and first installment of a new trilogy and Pixar's Elio. A little bit of horror and some family-friendly fare. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's play ball today at Wrigley. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers and Chicago Cubs playing today after being rained out last night. The game has now been rescheduled to create a doubleheader between the two teams August 18th. NFL former Packers place kicker Anders Carlson has been released by the New York Jets. Carlson, drafted in the sixth round in 2023 by the Packers, has spent time with the 49ers and now the Jets. Former Packers defensive back and special teams guy Robert Rochelle has signed with the Dallas Cowboys. NBA, the Pacers host the Thunder tonight in Indianapolis. Tyrese Halliburton doing everything he can to get back on the court despite a strained right calf muscle.
I mean, I think just around-the-clock stuff as much as I can. Massage, needles, hyperbaric, H-wave. I mean, just a bunch of different things to try to get it to feel as, you know, as comfortable as you can going into it. The right tape stuff. I'm sure there's a bunch of medical professionals who better answer, but just doing everything that I'm told, trying to do everything I can.
That's the Pacers' Tyrese Halliburton with sports on Mike Clemens.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Mark Sommerhauser, the communications director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, analyzing the impacts of the big brutal bill.
That number that you mentioned of nearly $15,000 per person, literally about a quarter of the state's economy.
Basically a quarter of the state's economy coming from the federal government. I'm not hearing from Republicans in the state in their biennial budget planning any sort of contingency plan for major disruption in federal funding coming into the state.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
We'll talk with former Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen about his bipartisan effort with the Democracy Defense Project.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Sunny and warm for your Juneteenth with a high of 83. For tonight, an isolated shower possible late, otherwise just partly cloudy and mild, a low of 63. Another warm one on Friday, a shower or storm possible mainly in the morning, a high of 84. Currently, it's 62.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
Tomorrow, we've got celebrity guests. We've got Marcelia Nicholson, Milwaukee County Board Chair, Sabrina Madison, Dana Pelobon, and Ellie Halo, a woman of Black trans experience. Do not miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Well, you may be hearing rain this morning, but the sun is going to come out. Welcome to Juneteenth. Yeah, it is a Thursday. I am the fabulous Farm Bay PM Yankee. Thanks for sharing some of it with me. Markets are closed today, so don't expect any updates on the numbers, but we will let you know where the markets finished yesterday. In fact, talking about the markets, farmers are paying attention to the conflicts in the Middle East. All the headlines we're seeing, it could impact some of the inputs they need for the fall harvest, like gas and diesel. Try to touch on that with you this morning as well. Weather-wise, let's talk about what we can expect for today. Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist, on the way in about 15 minutes or so. Like I said, the rain should move through Wisconsin this morning. Otherwise, we should have a cloudy sky just a little bit later today. The sunshine will break through. Highs today, right around 83 degrees. For tomorrow, more rain in the forecast, probably before lunchtime. Otherwise, cloudy skies. Some sun will make it in. Highs on Friday, around 82. Saturday is when things get almost a little dangerous. I know there's some late graduation parties that are going on. Of course, there's always a Saturday wedding, a family reunion, and dairy events. Saturday is going to just flat out be sunny and hot. Going to have to take care of yourself. Daytime high on Saturday, around 92.
The only competition that really matters is you versus you. And with the performance of Veltima fungicide from BASF, you can take your best results even further. Veltima fungicide is on your side to out-yield the competition by an average of 7 bushels per acre, but you've never been average. Beat your own record, get every bushel you deserve, and make this your best season yet with Veltima fungicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Finding yourself from farm to the big stage is no small feat, especially when you are chosen to lead an organization and association that has been going strong for 96 years. I'm Aubrey Schlimgen from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, and Amalia Draxler from the Glenwood City FFA chapter was chosen to serve as the Wisconsin State FFA president for the 2025-2026 year. She grew up on her family's dairy farm where her passion for agriculture started, and is now taking her skills and passion to the state level on her new journey in this remarkable opportunity.
My name is Amalia Draxler. I'm from the Glenwood City FFA, and I'm serving as the new state president of the FFA, which is just, I'm honored to be doing this. A little bit about myself is I grew up in Glenwood City on my family's dairy farm, so I've been very passionate about agriculture all of my life, whether it be in FFA, 4-H, at the fair, fairs to the fair, any avenue I can take to advocate for agriculture is something that is very near and dear to my heart. So I'm currently a junior at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, where I'm studying agricultural and applied economics and life sciences communications.
And how has your journey been in FFA thus far? Take us to the beginning. What got you into FFA?
Well, the beginning, that was so long ago. This is my 9th year as an FFA member, so it's amazing to think back on all of those experiences. I remember I joined as a 7th grader. My parents were both very active in the FFA, so it was just the next step for me to take naturally to join FFA, but it was the people in the classes and the information and the learning that really kept me in FFA. My first advisor, Mr. Vanderwall, helped me do things like the creed speaking competition, which made me very confident. And eventually, my new advisor, Ms. Condor, helped me get into being a state officer. She kept pushing me throughout my high school career. And then after I graduated, she was like, are you going to take the step? And I decided that, yes, I would hope to take the step as a state officer. And now I'm here for a second term as the state FFA president, and I'm so thrilled to be here.
Tell us a little bit about your agricultural background. You talked about being from dairy background. So tell us a little bit more about that and what that plays a role in your life.
My farm is a sixth-generation family dairy farm, so I've been on the farm literally since I could walk. My parents always had me out there working with the calves, and that is what I like to do. I like to work with my dad, whether it's checking the fresh pen or just helping him with preg checks, or I like to go with my mom to the calf barn and help raise our chickens and stuff like that. And now I get the honor of helping other people around me learn about agriculture. I have a 10-year-old sister who we go to the farm together, and we try new things, and it's been a great learning experience. I hope to just continue looking into the future of agriculture as an adult and into the rest of my life, because again, that's something I'm just really passionate about.
And you are studying as a junior at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. So what's the drive behind pursuing your degree in your education?
I hope to give back to everybody in my community, and I think that agriculture is an avenue where we truly can live to serve all throughout our life. And so I can accredit everything that I have in my life to my family's farm, and I hope to help other people do that. And so studying economics, I hope to go back into rural policy and economics so that we can study what that looks like for people in rural areas, such as myself. And I hope to continue to advocate for agriculture through my communications degree, whether that might look like hosting a social media page or working with statewide organizations. I think that that's a way I can really give back, and that's what led me to pursue this career choice.
And what about this week, being the 96th Wisconsin State FA Convention and Expo? Tell us a little bit about the significance behind this being the 96th year.
This is an amazing year. Being the 96th year, we're so close to the 100th year anniversary. And that's really great because we've been seeing our FFA expand exponentially. This year at the 96th Wisconsin FFA Convention, we hit record attendance with over 4,500 members, which is so amazing to see all those jackets and advisors and supporters in one place. And we've hit so many new membership marks, being over the 27,000 mark, and seeing so many new members incorporate themselves into agriculture and leadership roles in different ways has been amazing. And so at the 96th Wisconsin FFA Convention, our members have been really able to take that to the next level.
And what is a legacy that you hope to have left behind, not just this week, but hopefully in this next coming year? Obviously, there's some pretty significant numbers, but what are your plans and hopes and goals to accomplish within this next year?
I hope to continue to grow our membership roles, and I hope to see other avenues of the FFA take their stake in our organization and really expand. So looking at things like the foundation, hopefully getting more partnerships with that and helping our members succeed through that. And also, I really just hope to leave a legacy of being somebody who leads with integrity and honesty and always lives to serve. I plan to pour out through my new team, and I hope to see them encourage members at the chapter level and at the statewide level through conferences, chapter visits, and so much more. I think that we can do incredible things this year to help our members succeed.
And one last thing on a personal note, what was maybe your favorite memory as an FFA member, or even just this past year of being a state officer? What's something you can look back on and say, yes, this is why I do what I do?
My favorite memory as an FFA member was doing the Creed speaking competition. I remember being so nervous going into it, but that was, I think, the first place where I really saw myself succeed in FFA, and I decided to take that to the next level. And that from then on, that has just dominoed effect its way to where I am now. And I think from the last year, my favorite memory has been connecting with all the members. One of my favorite memories was at the Connect and Edge conference. I sat at a table with a bunch of members, and it was the first time we'd met, and we all just grabbed hands and we were cheering about connection and getting to know each other. So I'm looking forward to making more memories like that.
The excitement and connections are a true factor of the passion behind the organization, and that was also on full display as well, as Cheryl Zimmerman, the executive director of the Wisconsin Association of FFA, informs us on the record-breaking week at the 96th Wisconsin State FFA Convention and Expo.
We had record-breaking, beyond what I even expected as far as attendance, over 4,500 people in attendance, and it just was fantastic. We had a day of service where we had over 800 volunteers helping with various projects around the Madison community, packing food and building beds, and just, again, all the people that were here for awards and competitions. It was a fantastic event. Now we start with a new state officer team as we begin the next year of FFA. We were really pleased because we increased membership close to 2,000 members this year, so now we're just over 27,556 members in the association. And so we're really excited about seeing that growth. We've added some new chapters. We granted charters to the Algoma FFA, and we started our first middle school chapter, La Crosse Middle School. And already for next year, I've got two or three chapters ready to start again. So there's so much excitement and growth happening within our FFA. It's just exciting, and we look forward to the year to come.
Absolutely. And what kind of, if you were to sum up this year in a couple words, I know that's very hard to do, but what were some things that really stood out to you this year in terms of, it's been a couple years since we've come out of COVID. We seem to be full-fledged back here at the Alliant Energy Center here in Madison. What are some things that have really defined this year in terms of whether on behalf of you guys and the Wisconsin State staff or even just the state FFA officers?
Well, I think, you know, again, the participation, it really all stems back to the local FFA advisors that get students involved at the local level and then bring them to the events to participate and grow in their leadership and all of that. And then having an outstanding state officer team that really helps to plan all of the events. People don't realize all the behind the scene things that state officers do to make a lot of these conferences and events happening. Just even this convention. I mean, they all had different roles to help it come together. And so, I mean, you know, that's really what it is. It's all about teamwork. It's all about working together. And that's how we can accomplish our goals and keep FFA and agricultural education strong in Wisconsin.
With Amalia Draxler as state FFA president and Cheryl Zimmerman as executive director, they will help in leading the largest membership to date for Wisconsin FFA. And with the multitudes of excitement and opportunity, it shows no sign of slowing down anytime soon. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Aubrey Schlumgen.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Environmental groups say the Midwest grid operator, MISO, is pushing an emergency energy plan that discriminates against wind and solar, the two cheapest ways to produce energy in our state. The plan favors fast-tracking construction of gas-burning power plants at the expense of clean energy projects. The Federal Energy Regulatory Commission rejected a similar plan from MISO last month, but environmental groups say this one is even worse, with few guardrails to ensure fossil fuel projects are actually needed. Once again, Wisconsin had the biggest wild turkey season in North America. More than 50,000 wild turkeys were harvested in our state this spring. The Department of Natural Resources reintroduced the birds into our ecosystem in 1976 and has been managing the hunt ever since. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day, when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
The Joint Finance Committee was leaked that they intend to cut $87 million from the UW system budget. And so we put this out on our socials last night. And today, the Joint Finance Committee decided to pull that from the agenda. Because apparently, from what I'm told, Republican legislators got a lot of calls. When the truth is disseminated and people react, results can happen.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station. And on the app. News from the Center, WRCE. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, ICE agents are taking people into custody with no identification and they're masked. What is the legality of that? Jim Santel will join us. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Same number for both, 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. Stumacher, Ag Meteorologist, joins us this morning. So I'm going to just give you a rundown by who was the early bird. Linda from Reeseville had a half an inch. Dennis from Brownsville, 4/10. Butch from Alto, about 4/10. Greg from West Bend had 6/10. And I am pleased to report that he attended his first dairy breakfast on the farm last week
in last weekend in Washington County and loved it. Thank you. So glad we could help you with that, Greg. Dave from Burlington caught my attention at 1.71 inches. And the latest is from Burnett, 0.3. That 1.71 obviously sticks out to me, Stu. What do you see?
Yeah, that's kind of up there, but I also have Racine at 1.28, Milwaukee at 1.25, and my friend John from Armstrong said 1 inch. I had 0.41 in my gauge, but the airport, you know, about 5 miles that way, had 0.67. So it's all over. La Crosse, 0.21. Madison, the airport, said 0.67. The amounts are a little here and there, but nonetheless, we had some rain, and it really was kind of concentrated in southeast Wisconsin yesterday. But a cool front's pulled away down there, lining up from around Indiana down toward Illinois, central Missouri, back to Oklahoma. There's still some rain, far southern edge of Wisconsin. Janesville and Beloit maybe having a little sprinkle. It's down into northern parts of Illinois, but most of it's pulling away, lower Michigan up into Canada. There's some rain back in northwest Minnesota. So we get a little break today. And in fact, in southern Wisconsin, where there are some clouds, they'll clear out. It will brighten up later on, and it's going to start to warm up. And the big one, the issue of the extreme heat watch that sticks in for western Wisconsin, Park Falls, Hayward, Eau Claire, down to La Crosse, and right down the western edge of the state. That kicks up about noon on Saturday and lasts till Sunday night, the extreme heat watch. It is going to warm up. We're all going to warm up, but a cool front tries to drop in out of the north, and there will be a small rain chance even tonight in the far north. Tomorrow, maybe lingering toward late Friday night or early Saturday in far eastern Wisconsin. Not going to amount to a big deal. Extra rain amounts here could be a tenth of an inch or two, maybe a little heavier in the north as that system will be a bit closer there. But that second front drops through and it doesn't cool us off. It really brings on the heat. And as we look towards Saturday and Sunday, and I know there's a lot of breakfasts and events going on for June Dairy Month and everything else, and we are going to get hot. I think almost anywhere in Wisconsin, Saturday and Sunday, 90s, in the low 90s for daytime highs are what we're going to see. It does come with a breeze. There's the one thing. Yes, it's a southwest breeze, so it's not going to be a nice cooling breeze where you'll sit under the tree and feel how nice it is, but it's going to be breezy Saturday and Sunday, and that's going to keep that heat rolled right on in. Those 90s hot and sticky weather is exactly what we have in store. We start to break it a bit into next week, but that's when some rain chance starts to redevelop. And a little later Monday or by Monday night, some showers and storms roll in and kind of take the top off that temperature a little bit. And that's going to feel really nice after the hot weekend we have coming up. And, of course, still some rain chances as we make our way through Friday. I'll have forecast details right after this.
Family reunions, anniversaries, neighborhood get-togethers, whatever event you're planning, incorporate a little Bavaria sausage flavor in your event. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke, I wouldn't steer you wrong. I'll tell you what, Bavaria sausage can give you just what you're looking for when it comes to impressing your guests with fantastic flavor and old world recipes. And things are always changing at Bavaria Sausage, so you want to check back often. Their website's fantastic, BavariaSausage.com, making it easy for you to get the products you're looking for. Or better yet, visit face-to-face in the store, corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrota Road in Fitchburg. Monday through Friday, 9 until 7, Saturday, 9 until 1. No matter what your celebration is, Scott and the crew will work towards making sure it's a success. Looking for something special or maybe bigger volumes? That's where you want to contact Scott and Lisa and let them know what you're looking for. BavariaSausage.com. You stop by, they'll make the difference.
All right, buddy, let's have some more details on that forecast.
All right, well, we do have clouds this morning in the south and east, but they'll clear out and statewide. It becomes sunny today in the far north. A small rain chance even on toward late today, not a big deal. I expect a lot of us head up to around or just into the low 80s today with those west winds about 5 to 10. Partly cloudy overnight, and we should stick a lot of us in the lower 60s, maybe upper 50s in the north. West winds become south, not too strong overnight. It's Friday that some clouds redevelop, showers, even a thunderstorm. They develop in the morning, become a little more widespread afternoon. And like I say, a couple of tenths of an inch could be heavier in the far north. Temps still in the lower 80s tomorrow with the southwest winds at 5 to 15. But that rain should end by Saturday, sunny and hot. Yeah, I don't even like it. 92, at least low 90s in many areas. Southwest winds 5 to 15, gusting to 30. And those low to mid 90s on Sunday, Pam. Add the humidity to that, and we're talking heat indexes upper 90s around 100. Going to be a real sticky weekend.
Man, oh man. You know, we've got a story coming up later this morning about noise around the farm. You know, we're used to noise. There's a machine everywhere. But like you say, this weekend, we better expect noise with the barn fans that we're going to need, the sprinkler systems, all of it.
They're not going to shut down. I bet the house is going to be the same.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, buddy. Appreciate it. We'll catch up with you tomorrow morning.
All right, see ya.
Stumach, our ag meteorologist, keeping you up to speed on what's going on as far as that weather. Like he said, today, not so bad. Tomorrow, you might want to start thinking about the weekend plans. We are talking about noise levels on the farm. Not something you necessarily think about, but Ben Jarbo surely does. Stick around for that.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. Here at Civic Media, we believe radio plays an important role in strengthening our communities by focusing on what is happening here and now. Here's a clip from a recent edition of the Todd Albus Show, where Todd sat down with Alex Madursky from the Nature Conservancy talking conservation in Wisconsin.
We're joined to talk about other conservation issues by Alex Madursky, the Associate Director of Government Relations at the Nature Conservancy. Alex, before to break, introduced a little bit the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Fund. Former Republican Governor Warren Knowles, former Democratic Governor and U.S. Senator Gaylord Nelson, who started and founded Earth Day. What does this program mean for the state of Wisconsin, and why does it appear to be, if not in danger, certainly a concern right now as we look at the current budget process in Wisconsin?
Well, it means everything. It means a lot. I was thinking about this interview, Todd, today before I joined you to chat. And when we talk about the outdoors, it does everything from protect wildlife species, to protect wetlands. It also, for local units of government, does things like create trails, creates parks, helps protect them. You're on a boat launch today. There's a whole sub-program of this Knowles Nelson Stewardship Program that's dedicated to making sure boaters can enjoy that activity. And every acre of land we have at the Nature Conservancy based on this program is open to all nature-based outdoor activities, as we call them, including hunting, fishing, and trapping. And those are such an important part of our state's cultural heritage that I'm glad we can offer that to every Wisconsinite and everyone who wants to visit this state for free. It's a public-private matching grant program, so we don't get this money for free from the state government. We got to show up at the table and explain to the Department of Natural Resources, here's what we think we can do, here's what we think we can protect, and here's what we think people can use. So here's the money we can bring to the table. Can you help us out? The program, I think, is not unique in facing some challenges in the legislature to the extent that that process doesn't always move as smoothly as perhaps most Wisconsinites would ideally like. But that's one reason we continue to go back to the legislature and tout these polls that say 93% of Wisconsinites support the stewardship program.
You've been listening to a portion of the Todd Albus Show. To learn more and to subscribe to the show's podcast, check out the Civic Media website at civicmedia.us.
News from the Center, WRCE.
ABC News, I'm Wayne Cabot. 1 week into their war, attacks between Israel and Iran are intensifying. Iran sent a missile into the main hospital in southern Israel, blowing out windows but not killing anyone. Other Iranian missiles fell near Tel Aviv and destroyed several apartment buildings. In response, Israel says it will amp up its attacks inside Iran.
On Capitol Hill, debate intensifying over possible U.S. involvement. Top Democrats saying President Trump must consult Congress and seek authorization if he's considering taking the country to war against Iran. While Republican Senator Lindsey Graham showing support for military action, saying Trump should finish the job.
ABC's Nicole D'Antonio. The National Hurricane Center says Eric is now an extremely dangerous Category 4 hurricane heading for Mexico's Pacific coast. You can't take Interstate 40 through the Great Smoky Mountains. Closed both ways because of mud and rock slides. More rain is in the forecast. This is ABC News.
It's play ball today at Wrigley. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers and Chicago Cubs playing today after being rained out last night. The game has now been rescheduled to create a doubleheader between the two teams August 18th. NFL former Packers place kicker Anders Carlson has been released by the New York Jets. Carlson, drafted in the sixth round in 2023 by the Packers, has spent time with the 49ers and now the Jets. Former Packers defensive back and special teams guy Robert Rochelle has signed with the Dallas Cowboys. NBA, the Pacers host the Thunder tonight in Indianapolis. Tyrese Halliburton doing everything he can to get back on the court despite a strained right calf muscle.
I mean, I think just around-the-clock stuff as much as I can. Massage, needles, hyperbaric, H-wave. I mean, just a bunch of different things to try to get it to feel as, you know, as comfortable as you can going into it. The right tape stuff. I'm sure there's a bunch of medical professionals who better answer, but just doing everything that I'm told, trying to do everything I can.
That's the Pacers' Tyrese Halliburton with sports on Mike Clemens.
T. Schwaba. On the next Nightlight, making the popcorn pick of the week will be the guy behind the guy. J.B. Thompson joins me in studio. Then I'm joined by Chelsea Myers from Old World, Wisconsin. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with T. Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Sunny and warm for your Juneteenth with a high of 83. For tonight, an isolated shower possible late, otherwise just partly cloudy and mild, a low of 63. Another warm one on Friday, a shower or storm possible mainly in the morning, a high of 84. Currently, it's 62.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
In sitcoms, when someone has a problem, they just blurt it out and move on.
Well, I lost my job and my parakeet is missing. How was your day?
But the real world is different. Managing life's challenges can be overwhelming. So, what do? We get support. The Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council have mental health resources available for you at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. See how much further you can go when you take care of your mental health.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on Civic Media Radio. We now take you to Matinair on Air with Wisconsin Farmers Union President Darren Von Rudin on the importance of public radio.
What I wanted to bring up really quick is one of the things you brought up as a discussion point was cuts to public radio and NPR. Darren, do you want to speak on that?
Yeah, you know, it's something that I think affects not only farmers, but rural citizens across the country. You know, I hear more and more people that are listening to the programs that public radio offers and national public radio or TV. You know, how do we keep those programs alive? And a lot of that is through public funding. About half of the funding, or a quarter of the funding, to NPR and public radio comes from private donations. So, you know, it's one of those programs that I listen to a lot when I'm driving down the road with all the windshield time that I have. and it has a lot to do with the news source that's there too. It's an independent news source. It's not viable to one particular promoter. You know, at the end of different newscasts, they'll say that one of their sponsors was actually somebody that they were talking about.
Right. Yeah.
What radio stations do you hear that on? You just don't. And so how do you know who's pushing what button that they can report on and what they can't report on, where public radio and public TV, really gets to the source. And most times if the opposite sides want to be on the stage at the same time, that's what they would much rather do. But we're seeing a lot of pushback from the far right saying that it's not a good news source. Well, if you don't show up and talk about your point, you really can't say that. It's like the local tavern affiliate or customer that complains about politics all the time but never goes and votes.
Right. Yes.
You really don't have a right to complain about it if you're not willing to be on the program.
I'm very, very surprised that you and other agriculture producers in Wisconsin are NPR fans. And I think that helps explain a little bit to me, at least, why they would like to cut funding, because I think they would much prefer that Wisconsin farmers were listening to different kinds of media outlets.
Yeah, and certainly nowadays with modern technology, and if you are lucky enough to own some of the modern equipment, you can get Sirius Radio and listen to whatever you want. But there's a whole lot of us that are still farming with tractors from the 80s and 90s and still have AM radios on our dials too yet. So having as many news sources as we can is what we prefer.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
For much of last season for Chicago.
You think about pushing the lawnmower or maybe using power tools. I'm guessing not every time that you use those pieces of equipment or those tools that you're wearing ear protection, but you might want to think about it. Ben Jarboe is going to join us this morning and take a closer look at the sound, the noise that we've got on the farm. The average push lawnmower or even power tools can generate 85 to 90 decibels of noise. And think about that when you get up to our tractors, our heavy-duty equipment, something like a chainsaw, you could be exposed to more than 95 decibels of noise. Are you protecting yourself? What does that do to us? And what does it do to our animals? We never think about that, do we? Well, we're going to take a closer look at some research that's trying to find out. Thanks for joining us. I am the fabulous Farm Bay Pam Yonke. I'm also hoping our buddies from EverAg are going to join us. I haven't heard back from them, and they may be out of the office since the markets are closed today. But we'll find out. Dairy took a nosedive yesterday. Barrel and block cheese, AA butter, all down quite a little bit so far this week. We'll see if they're going to pick up the slack and help answer some questions. Hang on for that. So today is the 19th day of June. What can I tell you? Let's see. On this day, back in 1964, the U.S. Senate passes the Civil Rights Act of 1964. 18 senators unsuccessfully launched a filibuster to try to prevent it, but in the end, it passed and was signed into law in 1964. On this day, 1978, the Lazy Cat Garfield made his debut. Comic strip by Jim Davis appeared in 41 newspapers on that first day. That was back in 1978. Today, Milwaukee's General Mitchell Airport went international back on 1986. It was renamed to reflect the presence of customs on site, as well as the airport's expansions. That happened on this day back in 1986. Milwaukee's General Mitchell Airport goes international. And happy birthday to dancer, actress, judge Paula Abdul. She is 63. Happy birthday. Well, we're not necessarily so happy about the progress on the farm bill. This one's kind of getting away from a lot of folks. I know there's a lot of commodity groups, farm organizations that keep bringing it up in Washington, D.C., but it's not finding its place on an agenda. Stephanie Hoff's got an update.
Congress was supposed to write an updated farm bill in 2023, but it didn't happen. 2 1-year extensions later, and agricultural groups are still pushing for the new legislation as farmers operate under the 2018 version. Steve Etka is the policy director for the Midwest Dairy Coalition. He says there's a lot of talk right now about splitting the farm bill up.
It's been a long time since we've had a real five-year farm bill. I think that's one of the things that everyone in ag policy is really focused on. The last farm bill was written in 2018, and Congress was supposed to write a new farm bill with updated data and policies in 2023. They couldn't get it done. They did a one-year extension, couldn't get it done in 24. They did another one-year extension. So we're now in this position where we're trying to get Congress to update ag policy again. And there's a lot of talk about splitting the farm bill up, doing some of the things through this budget reconciliation process that Congress is in the process of right now, which is a big macro bill that deals with taxes and deals with border security and deals with energy. And they're talking about having it deal with some of the provisions of the farm bill as well. So we're kind of waiting to see what unfolds there. Our main message is that the safety net for dairy needs to be updated. We have a really important and useful program called the Dairy Margin Coverage Program. We are not asking for that program to be have any wholesale changes, but we are wanting Congress to recognize that things have changed on the farm since 2018. Production average herd size increased, and some of the structures of that program need to be updated to reflect those changes. And we're hoping that whether it's through reconciliation or a full-scale farm bill, that those provisions can be included and become law.
Are there ramifications if Congress does start no longer passing a farm bill, but just little bits and pieces here and there?
There are. I should back up and say there's a lot of concern about what's been put on the table in terms of cuts to food and agriculture programs through this reconciliation process. I think the bulk of the cuts that the Ag Committee has been tasked to come up with will fall largely on nutrition programs, and the Farm Bill Coalition that has existed for decades of combining folks in Congress that care about nutrition assistance programs with those that care about farmer assistance programs, that coalition has been really key to getting a farm bill passed in the past. So we don't want to see that coalition divided, and the nutrition programs are important to farmers too, because the more folks have access to food, that the more of the farmers' products are being consumed.
Yeah. What's the two sides here? Is it just over the dollars and cents?
The challenge of doing a full farm bill through the budget reconciliation process, which is the process that they are in the middle of right now, is that there are rules that govern what can be put in a budget reconciliation bill. It has to be, and this is getting way into the weeds, but it has to be directly relevant to the budget. And so there are some things that are more policy-like that are just policy changes but don't have a budgetary impact that are not allowed to move through that process. And so that's the challenge of doing a full farm bill through the reconciliation process.
How long does this reconciliation last?
I think that remains to be seen. This is one of the questions that we're asking, is like, if you are doing some farm bill provisions through reconciliation, is that a one-year fix, or is that for those provisions, is that a five-year fix? The cuts that the House and Senate Agriculture Committees are being tasked to make are cuts over 10 years. So those cuts would be long-term, and those are to pay for tax provisions that the president has been asking for.
Steve Etka, along with us, policy director for the Midwest Dairy Coalition. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Wisconsin's dairy farmers are more than just producers of milk and cheese. They're dedicated caretakers of the land, animals, and communities that they call home. Tina Peterson, director of Wisconsin Communications for Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin, explains the essential role that these farmers play and how we can all take part in supporting them.
So we know our Wisconsin dairy farmers have a really long history of caring for their land and water, mostly because these are multi-generational farms, but they also take really great care in making sure they're taking care of their cows and their families and farms and communities. So there's a lot on a farmer's plate, but they are such a vital, important role in their communities. And we encourage consumers to really engage with our dairy farmers, ask them the questions they have, and then they can support dairy farmers by buying products made from our Wisconsin milk. And that's very easy to do in the store. You can go to any retailer and look for products that have the Proudly Wisconsin cheese or Proudly Wisconsin dairy badge.
To learn more about how you can support Wisconsin's dairy industry, visit wisconsindairy.org.
Well, it looks like we've got some bipartisan agreement down at the state capitol for some extra assistance in rural health care areas. It's called the Advanced Practice Registered Nurse Modernization Act. I talked about it with Wisconsin Senator Pat Teston from Stevens Point. He is the chair of the Senate Agriculture and Revenue Committee, and he says he's been watching this legislation get moved around at the state capitol for the past 13 years or so. He says ultimately the goal is to try to make sure qualified registered nurses can practice independently of a physician as long as they don't go outside their areas of expertise. He said we're all well aware of how tight the available expertise is when it comes to rural health care.
Access to health care, especially in our underserved areas, has been a top priority of mine ever since my first session back in 2019 when I chaired the Senate Health Committee for two sessions and still serve as the vice chair now, doing what we can to make sure that we empower providers all across the state, and our advanced practice registered nurses fill a crucial role there, where oftentimes, especially in our rural areas, it can be very difficult to get in to see a primary care physician. And this is legislation that has been around in some form or fashion for going on 13 years. And I've had the privilege to author this bill the last three sessions, and it was the first time in the previous two sessions in which the bill actually made it out of both houses of the legislature, but unfortunately was vetoed by the governor. But rather than, you know, despair and, you know, thrown in the towel, we kind of circled the wagons and met with all the stakeholders and began having really productive conversations with the governor's office. And, you know, we have an agreement. And while not everyone was 100% happy with the final product, I am quite confident that when this reaches his desk, it's going to get signed into law and it's going to move these advanced practice registered nurses in the right direction, which is primarily to empower them to do the jobs that they were trained to do, which is to take care of patients. And so I'm hopeful that we will become the 29th state that has enacted a form of this legislation. And it's a step in the right direction to help patients and empower providers.
Wisconsin Senator Pat Teston, again, he's talking about the Advanced Practice Registered Nurse Modernization Act, something that he hopes would help relieve some of the strain, especially on rural health care providers, to let those nurses do what they've been trained to do. We'll keep an eye on it. Well, markets aren't hard to follow today because they're not trading. It's Juneteenth. Yesterday in Chicago, the December corn closed 5.25 cents higher at 4.44. November soybeans up just a half at 10.68 1/4. But look at the wheat. July wheat was up 25 1/4 yesterday, 5.74 1/4. Now, dairy had a tough day yesterday. Barrel cheese was down 8 at 1.69. 40-pound block cheese down 6.5 at 1.69. The AA butter dropped a nickel, 2.52 3/4 per pound. The July class 3 milk that goes into cheese down 28 cents, closed at 17.68, and August was down 41 at 18.20 a hundredweight. Like I said earlier, remember, if you're looking for the post office or if you're looking for any federal offices, they're closed for Juneteenth. On the way, Ben Jarboe talking about the noise levels around the average dairy farm. And I'm not talking about the farm babe on the radio. He's got an interesting research project looking at that next.
Can't get enough farm news? The stories you hear and more 24/7 at MidwestFarmReport.com. Stay tuned as we'll be right back.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The North Carolina legislature once again finds itself in federal court for two racial gerrymandering cases in a trial beginning June 16th. Voters and three pro-voter groups accused GOP leaders of violating the 14th and 15th Amendments to the U.S. Constitution and the 1965 Voting Rights Act. The cases were brought in late 2023 by Black North Carolina voters, the Southern Coalition for Social Justice, the state NAACP, and Common Cause. They contend that GOP legislators intentionally diluted Black voting power in the so-called Black Belt and other regions, affecting 9 state House districts, 5 state Senate districts, and 6 congressional districts. The original complaint contends, quote, the General Assembly targeted predominantly Black voting precincts with surgical precision throughout the state in drawing and enacting the 2023 plans at the expense of traditional redistricting criteria to achieve preferred district lines that diminish Black voters' ability to elect candidates of their choice at all levels of government, unquote. The legislature, in a familiar refrain, claims the gerrymandering was done for partisan reasons, out of bounds for federal courts, not for racial discrimination reasons. The trial is expected to last through July 9th and a decision before fall. We've linked to local reporting at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal. Find us on Blue Sky at Democracy Minute.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
News from the Center, WRCE. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. Our old friend Dan Schaefer, political editor of Civic Media and founder of the Recombobulation Area, will be here to help us recombobulate. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Professor and extension specialist of controlled environments and livestock production recently conducted a study where she measured the decibels around multiple areas of a dairy farm to see where the biggest problem places lie. She also gives some good mitigation strategies to make sure your cows and your workers are as comfortable as possible.
Yes, so we initiated this research to better understand the environments inside dairy buildings, especially dairy buildings with mechanical systems using mechanical ventilation or automated milking equipment. And since the farmers are being more mechanized and noise exposure for both animals and workers has grown, but we usually overlook at it during our daily operations. And even when we are buying an equipment or when we are designing a barn, we don't think about it much. So since high noise levels linked to both animal stress and human hearing risk, our goal was to assess current conditions, understand the current conditions, identify some potential impacts, and hopefully come up with some practical mitigation strategies.
And through this research, where did you go to do this research and how did you conduct it? And what exactly were you listening for when you were there?
We measured noise levels across different areas. We visited many, many dairy barns, and we looked at the areas like including near ventilation fans, feed pushers, milking robots, pressure washing areas, and measurements were taken at different times of day during various activities to capture both the baseline and the peak noise levels. And we used A-weighted decibel measurements, which reflect human ear sensitivity to different frequencies. And we also searched the literature. We referenced to the already published studies.
And through this research, what did you notice? How were you making the connection between the sounds of these dairy barns and the cattle?
So what we found is actually typical noise levels inside dairy barns range from 52 to 83 decibels, which is not very bad, right, under normal conditions. But we have those peak levels above 85 decibels during tasks like pressure washing or when tractors or skid loaders are in use. So high-capacity ventilation fans, automated milking systems, mechanical feeders, they all contribute to this noise background level. So we know that noise levels above 85 decibel pose a risk of hearing damage for workers if it is prolonged exposure, and may also increase stress level in cows, potentially reducing feed intake and milk production.
So when you were looking at this and you're collecting these sounds and you were noticing those that were 85 decibels or even above, what did you start thinking about to help mitigate those hearing losses for the workers or the stress on these cattle?
Yes, so there are several mitigation strategies that can improve conditions for both workers and animals. We are thinking about them both. So for ventilation systems, using larger, slower moving fans can reduce noise levels without sacrificing ventilation. And proper maintenance of all equipment helps prevent that noise from worn parts. From a worker safety perspective, scheduling high noise activities during off-peak hours, using hearing protection with appropriate noise reduction ratings, we call it NRR, and taking breaks from loud environments are always helpful. And for animal well-being, minimizing sudden loud noises and limiting continuous exposure above 85. So animals can be exposed to noise levels above 85, but we want to avoid continuous exposure. It can help reduce stress-related behaviors and support better productivity. So NIOSH offers a free app called NIOSH Sound Level Meter, which you can download to your phone and measure noise levels that you're exposed to or your animals are exposed to, which may help you in deciding whether you need to take a measure or not.
Ogdenis says that currently there is not a study out to see how much of a decrease of milk production there is due to noise stress on the cattle, but that is something that they hope to look at very soon. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. The Todd Albaugh Show.
Ken, as I like to call him, my least favorite Martin, chairman of the Democratic National Committee.
The other night I said to myself for the first time, I don't know if I want to do this anymore.
Matt Flynn.
You go into combat and the general goes, I'm afraid. He reminds me of the coach of the Jets back in the 90s. The other team would come on the field and say, boy, they look big. No, I swear to God. And the Jets lost 12 games. I mean, right? You can't have this kind of stuff. Get this guy out of here. Put in Ben Wickler.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
From intern to CEO, you'll meet the new executive head at Organic Valley today on Farm to Fork. The following is a public service announcement from Farm to Fork. As you're listening to this program, a dramatic paring down of 12 regional centers for agricultural safety and health is taking place. These centers rely on funding support from the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, and that agency's budget is being cut by more than 98%. Several of those centers have endorsed my 2025 Public Service Farm Safety and Health campaign, what you're listening to right now. I consider this a loss to the farming community, and while no money is changing hands, a loss to this campaign as well. These centers provide a valuable service to American farmers, their families, and their workers. If you want to make a case for retaining these centers and the services they provide, get in touch with your elected officials in Washington. If enough of you do, there may be a chance to save these services and save the lives and livelihoods of America's farmers. 2.5 months ago, Shauna Nelson became the CEO of Organic Valley, a farmer-owned cooperative based in Lafarge, Wisconsin. Nelson started as an intern there 20 years ago and worked up through the ranks. She has a handle on why Organic Valley has been successful.
I think it really comes down to consumers understanding where their food comes from and recognizing the importance of nutritious farm-to-table food, right? And so when you look at us, really our quality and what you can expect out of Organic Valley starts on farm. And we make sure that we produce high-quality, nutrient-dense food from our farms that then translates through to our supply chains.
In an appearance on the Food Talk podcast, Nelson was bullish on Organic Valley's future.
When we consider how vibrant our cooperative model is, the future looks bright. Because even though there's challenges, and certainly we could get into conversations about potential market disruptions that we're seeing based on factors and food inflation and all of those areas, but I think it starts with farmers working together and farmers making sure that their voice is being heard, whether it's with regulatory folks or more importantly, within their cooperative and their marketplace.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
We'll talk with former Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen about his bipartisan effort with the Democracy Defense Project.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Matt Nair on air.
From articles that I have seen, if you are a bagel purist, you should not toast your bagel. I think nothing's better than a toasted bagel and a schmear.
Folks, can we have a moment of honesty? Do you really like bagels, or do you like the schmear that is transported by them? Get rid of the stigma. If I walk into this room eating cream cheese out of a tub with a spoon.
Why is that wrong?
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
You are listening to your local civic media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Wayne Cabot. Iranian missiles blew the windows out of Israel's main hospital in the south and destroyed apartment buildings in Tel Aviv this morning. But late word from Iran, a meeting is now set for tomorrow in Geneva with Iran's foreign minister and European counterparts. As war with Israel enters its second week, it's fears of a wider war that concern Illinois Senator Tammy Duckworth on the Armed Services Committee. She was an Iraq War Army pilot.
I just don't want us to get to a place where, following whatever happens here, we're in a situation where our adversaries like the PRC or North Korea or Russia decide that they need to actually put a lot more effort into helping Iran.
Texas, a SpaceX rocket was being tested late last night when the Starship exploded, sending a fireball into the sky. SpaceX describes it as a major anomaly. This is ABC News.
You can always